Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. You'd open our minds, our eyes, our ears, that we'd receive your truth. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Welcome to West Hills Church. Thank you so much for being with us today. We are going to conclude our study in the book of Jeremiah by not being in the book of Jeremiah. We're actually going to be in the book of Lamentations, Lamentation chapter 5. These are the last words that we will hear from Jeremiah. You can imagine he had a prophetic ministry that spanned decades. And he saw the highs and the lows, and this is how he ends. He ends on a low note. This is really bad. He is able to observe all the destruction that the Babylonians had wrought upon the Jewish people. Now, you got to understand what a significant event that was. When the Babylonians, when they destroyed the walls around Jerusalem, when they burned the city with fire, when they destroyed the temple and the palace and everything, that was it. They removed the Davidic king from the throne, poked his eyes out, got the best and the brightest, the aristocracy, all those guys, and they sent them up over to Babylon, and they left the poorest people in the land to just kind of till the land and make sure it didn't, you know, go to seed. And that's the situation in Jerusalem, the glories of what used to be. Jeremiah is able to look out and see all of this. There's not much hope on the horizon. It just looks dark and gloom. It is a very, very bad time in Jewish history. As a matter of fact, this Tuesday, August 1st, is what some would say is the saddest day in the Jewish calendar. It is the day where they think about all the bad things that have happened to them as a people. And the first thing that they think about is the destruction of the temple in 586 BC by the Babylonians. Of course, they'd think about the 70 AD destruction of the temple by the Romans, but this is a very, very sad occasion. So remember, if you ever need to be cheered up, if you ever need encouragement in your life, stay away from the book of Jeremiah. You don't go there. All right, but this is how it ends. Destruction, the wake of devastation, observing everything. And here are some lessons that have been learned. And you can learn a lot of lessons through defeat and devastation. And so what we're going to look at as we look at Lamentations chapter 5, the last words of Jeremiah that we have from Jeremiah the prophet, as he looks out, he's going to let everybody know, reiterate the fact that the Jewish people have learned the correlation between behavior and consequences. That's a great correlation. I know if you do psychology, correlation does not mean causation, but this correlation does mean causation. This is a cause and effect. They see the relationship between behavior and consequences. It is very evident, and we're going to see what that is. And as Jeremiah looks out on all that, they have where the temple used to be, it's destroyed. Where the earthly throne used to be, where the Davidic king would rule, it is gone. And so they realize that earthly stuff is very temporary and that they need to have an eternal mindset, an eternal perspective. And we're going to see if that's alluded to. And so looking at devastation, the need for an eternal mindset, looking at devastation, seeing the connection between behavior and consequences, Jeremiah will pen these words and remind the people, we need God. We got to have God. We need God. If we're going to make it through the rest of this life, in the midst of this devastation, in the midst of this chaos, confusion, we've got to have God renew us. We've got to have Him restore us. So look, if you will, in verse 1, chapter 5, Lamentations. It's a prayer for restoration. Here's what Jeremiah writes. He says, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and waifs. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink and our wood comes at a price. They pursue at our heels. We labor and have no rest. We have given our hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is as hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravaged our women in Zion and the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands and elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstone. Boys staggered under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. But you, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. Now, isn't that a great way to end a book? God, unless you're really angry with us and you've forgotten about us. But Jeremiah was a prophet called the Weeping Prophet. He had to prophesy bad things, and he had to live through it. And as the conclusion of it all comes to pass, the Jewish people, as they look out, they see the causation, the correlation between their behavior and the consequences that they were having to bear, the consequences that they were having to reap. Look at some of this stuff. It says, our inheritance has been turned over to aliens, our houses to foreigners. Folks are, you know, all up in their houses that weren't supposed to be there. They didn't even have access to their own stuff. They refer to themselves as like widows and like orphans. These are the most defenseless in all of society. This was supposed to be a land, when they first went in it under Joshua, that was flowing with milk and honey. A land of blessing, the promised land. But because of their sin and disobedience to God, their behavior, the consequence followed, and God plucked them up, as he said he would, out of the land. And now this is the devastation that has been left. They have to get water and bread at the risk of their own lives. I mean, the necessities of life are very hard to come by. The women have been ravaged. The princes hung up by their hands. Elders not respected. They don't gather at the gates anymore. I mean, the guys that used to make all the decisions, they don't make the decisions any longer. The young men left their music. The joy of the heart's gone. The dance has ceased. The crown has fallen from our heads. This is a picture of devastating consequences of sin. There are consequences for behavior. There is a relationship between behavior and consequences. And I think in our day-to-day, in the 21st century, there's a lot of folks that need to be reminded of that. We all need to be reminded of that. There is a cause and effect. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You plant certain seed, guess what? That's what you're going to get. You plant beans, it's going to grow up beans. You plant tomatoes, you're going to have tomatoes. That's just how it works. There's a cause and effect. You've got the behavior. Now, here are the consequences. And let me just say this. Behavior is very, very important. I know we live in a day in a society where we want to change right and wrong, so maybe people think that certain consequences won't follow from bad behavior if we call bad good. It doesn't work like that with God. God's got it in place. And there is a cause and effect. There are consequences to behavior. Let me read something that Jesus spoke of in a parable that he gave to emphasize why it is so important to do what he says. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, here's what Jesus said. He said, therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Now, what's the difference between these two people, these two guys? Well, one heard the words of Jesus, and Jesus said, it's like the man building his house upon the rock, the foundation is secure. The storms came, and the house stood firm. The one that heard the words of Jesus and did nothing is like the man that built his house on the sand. The storms came, same storms came, and there's different results. The house fell. Why? It was built on the wrong thing. There is an advantage of doing what God says. I want you to understand that. We need to drill that in our brains. There are consequences to behavior, good and bad. It's best to be on the good side than on the bad side. Let me share with you some more blessings that come when we take God's word, abide in him, do what he says, the blessings that come. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Verses 10 and 11 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The way you abide in Christ is you do what he says. When you do what he says, abide in him, you bear much fruit. You pray and see answered prayer. Why? Because you have his desires. You know better how to pray and you see prayers answered in your life. And you also have joy. Why? Because you're connected like the vine to the branch. There's stuff flowing from the vine to the branch, flows from the vine into the branch, and it makes a difference in the branch. You live in obedience to the Lord, doing what God says. There's stuff that flows into your life that makes a difference. You bear fruit. You have joy. You see prayer answered. There are blessings to obedience. So don't think when you read Scripture that, oh man, that's what God wants me to do. Man, you get a blessing. You're putting yourself in the right position. You're putting yourself, at the end of that funnel, God's got some blessing. There are blessings that come from the right behavior. There are consequences in a bad way that come from the wrong behavior. God's just kind of hardwired it into this world. That's how it works. And it's always best to be on the right side of that. The Jews, they refused to listen to God's prophets. They refused to obey God's word in deliberate disobedience to God. And they thought they could get by with it. And as time went by, they saw they didn't get by with anything. So they learned, looking out on the devastation, experiencing the hardships of life, they knew that, like they said in verse 7, our fathers have sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Previous generations had set a bad table for them. I mean, they had set a bad table for them, and they had to eat the food off that table. And they'd also sinned, and they knew that. So learn the connection between behavior and consequences. It's always going, Jeremiah's looking out, and it's just a reiteration of that. But also, here's something else they learn. They learn that they need to have an eternal perspective. Why? Because the temporal, the earthly stuff, it was gone. We need to understand, as the Jewish people of that time, the temple meant everything. Having a descendant from David, the Davidic king on the throne, that was incredible. The law of Moses, all that stuff, man, God had blessed that people. And the blessings that he had given to them, they had seen that and they were able to enjoy those blessings. But the blessings, they started worshiping and going after the blessings instead of after the blesser. And they went off track. But when the Babylonians came in and knocked down the walls and burned the city and destroyed the temple, and poked the eyes out of the descendant of David, the king Zedekiah, poked his eyes out and killed his boys and took them back to Babylon, it was gone. There was no Davidic king on the throne. There was no temple even in Jerusalem. The walls were gone. And look what he says in verse 16. He says, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Verse 18 says, because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. That was where the temple was. Where the temple was a desolate place now. Animals were there. It was all gone. And all of a sudden, they started to realize, the earthly stuff, the temporary stuff, is gone. We got to have an eternal mindset. We got to start thinking about things that are different. They said, you, O Lord, remain forever. In verse 19, your throne from generation to generation. The earthly throne where the Davidic king sat is gone. The earthly temple where the sacrifices were offered, the high priest went in there, it's over, it's gone. God, your throne is eternal. God, you still rule and reign. So all of a sudden, they start having this eternal perspective, this eternal mindset, because what was earthly was shown that it was just temporary. It was taken. And let me say this. We would do very well if we adopt an eternal mindset as we live out this temporary life. The best way to live this life is live this life anticipating the life to come, which means we need to start making some preparations, first of which is make sure you're saved, make sure you've asked for forgiveness, that Christ is in your life, your sins are forgiven. That's step one. But that's just the beginning. What we need to do is we need to make sure that we make some investments in eternity. Let me read the words that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus says, you need to invest in eternity. Invest in eternity. You know, you got one of those apps on your phone that shows you the stock market. Anybody look at that? I like to just kind of go sometimes and look at a stock and see where it is today, where it was 6 months ago, and then see that yearly chart, that yearly graph, and you can see like when it was right here. You know, I look at it sometimes, I think that would have been a great time to invest right there. And then you see it all the way over here. And you're like, man, look how much that stock has grown. I mean, that stock has grown. And I start seeing that and thought, boy, that would have been a really good investment. Let me tell you something. You invest in stuff that's eternal, it continues to grow. It won't be negatively affected. Matter of fact, Jesus says, heavenly treasures, moth doesn't destroy, rust doesn't destroy, thieves do not break in and steal it. It is eternal. It is secure. So if Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, that means you need to start making some eternal investments. You need to make eternal investments. You know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? It talks about no foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That the foundation of our lives needs to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. Once you have that foundation, okay, you've got a building that's going to make it for eternity. Now, what you do with that building is up to you. The Apostle Paul says, some will build upon that foundation with wood, hay, straw, and stubble. And what happens is that when our life's over, that our life, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, passes through the fire of judgment. The only thing that's going to make it through that fire of judgment is what can last, what can bear the fire. Wood, hay, straw, and stubble, it gets burned up. He says also that there are some that build upon that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone. And what happens when gold and silver and precious stone goes through that fire? It makes it. It makes it. There's something invested in that life built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ that makes it to eternity. Don't you want to invest in eternity? To have something to show for your life instead of, okay, that person's saved, but okay, just get them on up here. That's it. Nothing to show. Nothing to show. If right now, if you were to have to take a piece of paper and write down, what are you doing that's of eternal significance? What are you doing that's going to make an eternal difference? What would you write anything down? What are your eternal investments? If I ask you, you know, if you're astute with your money here on earth, if I ask you, what are your earthly investments? Where you got your money? You say, hey, man, let me show you this pie graph. Let me show you. I got this much stocks, bonds, you know, all this, you know, I've got it all spread out. I've got, man, the pie chart looks great at times. Okay, what are you doing for eternity? And you say, what do you mean? Are you investing in eternity? Let me ask you this. Here's the deal with the Jewish people. Remember, God called Abram out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. He went to Canaan, then eventually he went down into the Egypt. The descendants did. He grew into a great nation. They were in bondage. God brought them out, put them into the promised land. And the reason for the Jewish people to be in the promised land, the reason why God called Abraham out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans is because God was going to bless him. And God was going to bless the nations through Abram. God had it so set up so that the Jewish people, as they worshiped him, the true God, the Gentile nations would be drawn to God because of how God had blessed the nation of Israel. God was going to bless them for the purpose of them being a light to the Gentile nations. God blessed them, and instead of them being a light to the Gentile nations, they started adopting the practices of the Gentile nations and worshiping other gods and goddesses. And so God blessed them, but they used their blessing to turn away from God. Let me ask you this. If God blessed you today, would it make any difference for his kingdom? If God gave you more money, would it make any difference? If God gave you that promotion at work, would it make any difference for his kingdom? If God gave you more athletic ability, would it make any difference for his kingdom? Or would it just be for you? See, God, I believe what needs to happen is God blesses us. We take his blessings, enjoy his blessings, and use his blessings to make an eternal difference, to invest in eternal things. Well, that's the way God would have it to be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He said, you're the light of the world, a city set up on a hill that cannot be hidden. I believe when God blesses believers, it's for the purpose of believers to use that blessing to further his kingdom, investing in eternity. As a matter of fact, look what happens here. Go back to Lamentations chapter 5. They know that they need to invest in eternity. I mean, because the temporary, you know, the earthly stuff is gone. Verse 21 says, "Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we shall be restored. Renew our days as of old." But see, they still have to live this life out. And as they have to live this life out, okay, we got to have an eternal mindset because what is earthly is gone. But Lord, we still have to live this life out. We want you to restore us. We want you to renew us. God, please don't be angry with us forever. But please restore us, renew us. They realized how much they needed God. They tried to go at it themselves. But if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 2, remember he sent the rebuke through the prophet Jeremiah and said, hey, you've rejected the waters of life, the living waters. And instead you've hewn for yourself broken cisterns that can hold no water. You traded the life-giving water that God gives for muddy, stagnant stuff that will not satisfy. And they realized after they started having to drink all that muddy, stagnant stuff that it doesn't satisfy, and they had left God. Now all of a sudden, having experienced the devastation, they realized we need God. I want to ask you this morning, how much of an awareness do you have of your dependence upon God? Are you a dependent person? Did you know everything that you possess, God's given to you? You are dependent, you just don't realize it. Everything you have, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It means he doesn't change. God's the giver of every good gift. 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? In other words, everything that you have, somebody gave it to you. Guess who that somebody is? It's God. Let me read to you a verse that the children of Israel were told prior to going into the promised land. And that they needed to remember, but obviously they forgot. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." They were told, look, God gives you the power to get wealth. It's for his purpose. You need to remember that. The Jews were told that prior to going into promised land. God's going to bless you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It gives you this ability to acquire wealth for his purpose. They acquired, but they forgot the purpose. Now, having suffered the devastation, they realize they need God. They need God. You remember what happened in the Old Testament when Job, when he lost everything, his wealth, his health, and he would lose his health. He would lose his family. He said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It showed that what Job possessed did not possess him. He knew he needed God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, wonderful verses that remind us of how much we need God just to live out what days we have on this earth. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both the willing to do for his good pleasure. In other words, God's given you salvation. If you're a believer, God's given you salvation. He's put salvation in your life. Now you work out what God has worked in. God's worked salvation in you. Now you work out what God has worked in. The way you do this is God works in you both the willing to do for his good pleasure. He gives you the desire and he gives you the strength to live the life that he's called you to live. You need him. You need him. To live the life that you're supposed to live, you need God. You have to be dependent. You have to be dependent. Acknowledge your dependence. God, I'm a very dependent person. I'm dependent upon you. Everything I possess is a gift from you. Every ability that I have, you've given it to me. The job I have, you've given it to me. The car I drive, you've given it to me. So God, may I use everything that I possess. May I use it for you, for your kingdom, to make an eternal difference. See, it changes the whole way you view life. It changes the whole way you look at things. Remember, the best way to live this life is anticipating the life yet to come. I live this life anticipating there's another place. I go through these days knowing that one day there is an eternity. And I live this life anticipating and preparing for the life to come. I know I'm going there. I know God's preparing a place for me. But I also know Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Make eternal investments. Use this life to make an eternal difference. I'll read you a rather sad parable that Jesus told as well. In Luke chapter 12, there's this guy. Had a lot of fields, a lot of land. He had wealth. And one year when he planted his crops, everything went right. I mean, he planted them at the right time, got the right amount of rain. Everything went exactly the way it should have went. It was perfect. Matter of fact, his crops, his fields yielded so many crops that he didn't have big enough barns to put them all in. And so that's a good problem to have. You know, you plant crops and you got so much, you don't know what to do with them all. Here's what Jesus said about this parable of what he calls the rich fool in verse 18 of Luke chapter 12. Here's what the rich fool said. He said, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Hey, we got any fools here today? I mean, boy, that kind of says it like it is. To spend all my time and all my effort just investing in what I can see in this life for myself and making no investment, no thought for the things that are eternal, that's living the life of a fool. I want to ask you today, what are you doing that's of an eternal significance? Do you know what? Some problem you've got, some challenge you may be facing in life, and you're just all upset about it, and you're just all in knots and turmoil about it, why don't you take your gaze from right here and put it up there? The Bible says clearly, we're to look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. As we live this life, we're to run with endurance, looking unto Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that we're to look at things above. See, sometimes you just need to take your head and you need to look up. I look to the hills from which comes my help. See, there's so much help available. There's so much hope that you can have. But if you just keep your head down, it won't work good. You've got to have an eternal perspective. So you pray, you say, Lord, how are you working this for eternity? Lord, how's all this being worked for your plan, your glory? And so, you know what? As I go through this problem, if I go through this struggle, whatever it may be, I want to invest in eternity. I want to invest in eternity. Let me tell you a way that may happen. It may happen that you go through a difficulty in life and you have that eternal perspective. I know that as it says in Romans chapter 8 that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will afterwards be revealed in us. And so, Lord, I know you're working a greater purpose and a plan, that all things work together, that whom you foreknew, you predestined to be conformed to the image of your Son. I know that you're doing all that. And you go through a difficulty in life, and you say, Lord, I want this to be of an eternal significance. And Lord, I know that you're working something eternal out of it. And you can't see what all is going on, but there's two or three or four people. They're watching you, observing you. And the way you handle that difficulty impacts them, and you never know about it. And their faith is increased. And all of a sudden, you didn't know it, but you had an eternal mindset. And your life has all of a sudden impacted the lives of others. You have no idea that it has. And yet all of a sudden, here is fruit that you're bearing that you don't even know about. But you'll know one day. You'll know one day. So never think that your life is not making an eternal difference. Never just mail it in. Go through it. Man, God's working this out. There's something eternal going on here. Let me tell you, in your life, there's something eternal going on. There's something eternal. You got to lift your head. You got to see what's happening. The Jews in Jeremiah's day, they realized, man, it's just not here in the here and now. There's something else going on. We got to look to God's throne. This earthly throne, King Zedekiah, that royal court, they're gone. We got to look to a heavenly throne. We got to look at things that are eternal. And they realize that. So look at your life as making an eternal difference. An eternal difference. You have been made. God says in Ecclesiastes that he has put eternity in their hearts. Something about eternity stirs us. We know we've been made for eternity. We just know it. Well, then invest. Live your life for an eternal purpose. Would you pray? Lord, I thank you for your word, and thank you that, Lord, even in the bad, we can see good that you bring about. And Lord, I pray you'd forgive us for the times where, God, we just keep our head down and we don't look up. And we just get so overwrought with things we go through in life, challenges we face. You are the lifter of our head. And you lift it for us to have that eternal perspective. Lord, if there's some that, Lord, this morning you need to lift their heads. I pray they'd look upward. Lord, it doesn't come from the east or the west, nor from the south. It comes from you. It comes from above. So, Lord, lift our heads, lift our eyes. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.